Amen. So I'm real excited about starting next week. It's next week we're going to start the new series. Amen. Treasures Out of Darkness Evangelism. Amen. I want you, if you could put that please up on the screens. Amen. That flyer right there. So I'm excited. We're going to be hitting the streets real tough. Amen. We're going to be going to the tough areas. Amen. Real tough. Amen. And we're going to reach and connect to those that are lost and bound that would have never, ever been touched, saved, if we wouldn't have gone to the spot. Amen. They're in bondage right now, and it's kind of hard from someone to get to from point A to point B when you're in bondage. Amen. Even if point A, is the church, you know. So the church is mobile, though. It's not an address. It's not a building. We are the true temple of God, the true body of Christ that is mobile. It can move. Amen. This church that Jesus that abides within me, I can move wherever I go. I take Jesus with me. I can have church anywhere I go. At any time of the day, I can have full-blown church services because the true temple of God is not this building. Amen. This is a place we come for a few hours out of the week. But the true temple of God that He desires to use and work through is your life and my life. And because He can move through it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen. 365 days a year. And how can I say something so boldly that He can move through your life every single hour of the day? Amen. Because there was a time that we were operating and moving every hour of the day, of the week, of the month, of the year for the work of darkness. So if we could do it for darkness, why can't we do it unto the light? Why can't we be that true church, amen, that is goes beyond these walls, amen? And there's a promises over our ministry, amen, through the prophecy, through the word that was given to our founder, Pastor Sonny Arizoni, that treasures out of darkness would be given to us, to our ministry. And that word has come to pass over 50 years now in over 33 countries. Amen. A people like you and I have been saved because the church is not a building. It was a people that was willing to go to the rallies, to go to the streets. Amen. And be effective in reaching the treasures out of darkness. Amen. So I'm real excited about that. That starts next Sunday morning. I start on the series of Treasures Out of Darkness in the area of evangelism and the way Victor Outreach does it and some of the things the Lord has given me over the years and just how to go about to be effective when we're out there and not just out there passing out flyers, but to be really effective as we're out there. So let's give the Lord a good clap offering, amen? Because He has called the church to go and make disciples, amen? Not just to come and hear the word, but to go and make disciples, amen. With what and no better way and time to apply our gifts that we just learned about in the area of evangelism, where we're going to be able to go to the streets, amen, to the hood, amen, and be able to operate in the gifts that the Lord has given His body, amen. So we're going to go with 7 gifts. Some of them are multiple gifts because a few of us have the same gifts here. But we're going to be able to go with the gifts that God has given the church, amen, to be edified, to be lifted up, to be strengthened, amen, even to the point of being effective of winning over those that are lost and bound like we used to be at one time, amen. I want to show the body diagram real quick, amen. And here we have the body diagram, amen. We went over all these gifts from the teacher all the way down to the server, serving. Amen. We went through all these seven motivational gifts. We were taught how the upper ones above that red line were as gifts as of speaking as for God. Amen. And then we learned that under that red line, there were gifts that was serving with our strength, with our hands, our feet, our hands, and so compassion, our hearts. So we've covered all this ground, amen. We've covered all this ground to now go into the field, amen, that belongs to God, that His Son paid for in full for us to be able to go reaching treasures out of darkness. Amen. We all have the gifts I put here to build God's house. We have everything it takes that is from God. A lot of times we feel that we're lacking, but lacking according to the way we think and the way we see things about ourselves. But when we go according to the gifts that God has given us, the truth is, this morning, my friend, those viewing through Facebook, we have everything it takes that is from God in building His kingdom, His temple, in winning the lost and the bound unto Him. Tell your neighbor, tell yourself, it's in the house. It's in the house. Everything we need that is from God is here this morning. But too many times the enemy gets us focused in where we lack and what we don't have and all the don't haves, and gets our focus off of what we do have and what God has given us. The work of the enemy is to allow you to see what you don't have. The work of the Lord is to allow you to see what you do have. So when the enemy can get you to believe there's a lack in your life and something is missing in your life and there's a void in your life, he then reels you into the world to meet that void, to meet that lack that honestly, truthfully, he can't feel. So that's the work of the enemy, is to get us to a place that we need to get our hustle on, that we need to get more busier at work or more busier doing this or whatever it might be. Because there's a lack and there's a void in our life, so we do things a little bit harder. And the work of the enemy is to get your focus off of what you do have that is from God and your purpose. Remember, the gifts that are from God are it's for the edification, for edifying others, the benefit of others. So let's listen here this morning, amen. We all have the gifts to build God's house, I put here. The question is, will we use the gifts? It's one thing learning, but then there's that next word called applying. It's one thing to know your gifts. It's another thing in applying your gifts. Amen? So here this day, I also want to, Brother Juan Galindo's here with us, amen. It was just 4 or 5 days ago. He had open heart surgery and everything, and he's here on a Sunday morning. So let's, Brother Juan, a clap offering. Let's give the Lord a clap offering, amen. Because Juan called me a few times, and he was a little nervous. They couldn't do the one-day procedure. They had to cut his chest open and do open-heart surgery and everything. And I says, it's going to be okay, Juan. You're going to be okay, because I was on this side of the fence saying it. But as easier said than done. But the good thing is, man, that I think there was two or three of his arteries were pretty much done with, and here he is 4 or 5 days later at a Sunday morning service, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering once again, amen. And let's keep Brother Pedro in prayer, amen, that the Lord would have his way with his life and in comforting also the family, amen. Amen. We're going to finish off on the 7 motivational gifts here today. Amen. Once again, I challenge you, for those from the church, to turn in your profile sheet so I can discern more effectively upon, you know, how to use your life and so forth. So it's your duty to bring it to me. Amen. But here this day, we're going to go over the characteristics of Jesus. We're going to briefly go over all 7 of the motivational gifts because God has them all. Jesus has them all. He is the one that gave the gifts. If he was able to give the gifts, that means he had the gifts to begin with. Amen? So here this morning, we're going to now see Jesus through Scripture using his gifts perfectly. Amen? I put here, only Jesus has demonstrated the complete and perfect operation of all the 7 of the motivational gifts in his life. Are you ready? Amen. Praise the Lord. Once again, those on Facebook have any questions, get with Sister Lily Macias in regards to the gifts, amen, and paperwork and so forth. The first one we're going to go over is the gift of the perceiver, amen, or prophecy, amen. And here within this one, we find that Jesus was able to look into people's hearts. How many kind of sense here this morning that Jesus has the know-how, the capacity, the sovereignty to look at what's going on in your heart right now? How many believe that Jesus is able to look into all of our hearts that are here, all of the hearts viewing through Facebook at the same time right now? Amen. That's somebody you want on your side, in your corner, amen? So here is the perceiver. Jesus was able to look into people's hearts. Not only when he walked the earth, but this very day as I speak. It's like when I said that, some of you went like, you know, you're like. As we go to Scripture, dealing with the Samaritan woman at the well, John chapter 4, verse 15 through 19. Jesus had been conversating with her for a little bit. He gave her a little bit of revelation. Remember, she was a Samaritan. They shouldn't even have been looking at each other, more or less having a conversation. Amen? But Jesus had a plan and a purpose for her. But to really get her attention, he had to let her know that he knew what time it was within her life. And the Bible reads, "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." And Jesus responds to her and says, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. And the lady responds, the Samaritan woman responds, "I don't have a husband." The woman replied, Jesus says, "You're right." She was still right for being wrong, amen? Only Jesus can tell somebody they're right for being wrong, amen? And Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had 5 husbands. and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Jesus was putting a double truth on her, amen? She responds, sir, the woman said. I believe she was like that. Like Adam and Eve, they were covering themselves with leaves. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Because not only did Jesus say she was right, she knew Jesus was right. He had the count of husbands right. He had the count that the one she was with wasn't her husband. It was like they were both right at the same place. Amen. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Here, this was Jesus looking into her heart. We need to know in these end times that we're living in that it's a good thing that Jesus is able to look into our hearts, know the condition of our hearts, but the greater news is that he's able to transform our hearts, change our hearts, and becoming hearts after his own heart. That our hearts don't have to remain the same, hardened, hidden, in secrecy. But here this day, whether you feel nobody knows what time it is, that's a half-truth, because the full truth is, I know one person, without guessing, not because I've been saved for 23 years, and I'm prophesying right now, giving a word, but I know one person here this day that knows about everything taking place in your heart. The place of a fountain of living waters where life flows out of, whether it's a good life or a bad life, a muscle mental's life. Jesus knows where your heart is right now. And I don't want nobody even on Facebook to be bummed out, but I want you to say, yes, my heart needs help. Jesus is looking into my heart, not to put me under the bus, but to cleanse my heart, to wash my heart. So here, Jesus not only was the giver of the gift of the perceiver, he operates in that gift. Amen? Let's go to the second one, the server, the gift of the server. Amen? He demonstrated service. The Lord was able to demonstrate service. Amen? He not only was the one that gave the gift of the server, Scripture says that he didn't come to this world to be served, but to serve. He wasn't just the one that was giving out the gift of the server, but he was the server himself. And that's why it's so important as we go into evangelism, into our life, into our marriages, into raising of our children, that we just can't have these gifts and know about them, but we're going to have to apply them. Jesus demonstrated the gift of the server. Amen. John 13:5, the Bible tells us. And he poured water into a basin. This was, he was washing the feet of his disciples. And he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. So here we find out that Jesus wasn't just the giver of the gift of the server of servanthood, but he was a server. He got down his knees and he washed the feet of his disciples. That's one thing, but the greater thing is that one of the names of the man of the disciples' feet that he was washing was called Judas. And because Jesus, the first gift, operated in the perceiver gift, he knew what Judas was going to do around the corner, and he still washed his feet. It's one thing to serve someone that always agrees with you, that's always nice with you, that always pays you back the money you lent them. It's another thing to continue to lend money to someone that hasn't paid you back once yet. It's another thing to help somebody that don't want to be helped, that's talking about you on the back side of the desert somewhere. Jesus operated in the gift of the server to perfection. And he demonstrated it. He didn't just wash John the Beloved's feet, amen? But he also washed Judas' feet that later on would betray him. As a server, he had a high energy level and kept pace with the demands of his ministry. That's why I like people that can move. Because there's a great demand right now in building God's temple, and those that are lost and bound, time is moving quickly right now, tells us that the church needs to move. And we just can't wait for Sunday to put in a little bit of work. But every day of the week, we should be an extension of Christ. Amen? Jesus had high energy, level to keep up with the pace and the demands of his ministry. In Mark 10:1, the Bible says, then Jesus left Capernaum and went down to the region of Judea and into the area east of the Jordan River. Once again, crowds gathered around him, and as usual, he didn't do it once in a while. He's something, not today. But the Bible says, and as usual, he was teaching them. There was multitudes of them. Sometimes we have a couple of people, one or two people in our life group, and we're complaining. Jesus, the Bible says, amen, had crowds gathered all around him. Amen. Because he not only had the gift of the perceiver, but the gift of the server. Amen. And he was applying it within his life as usual. As we go on to the next one, is the gift of the teacher. Amen. And the first point I want to make is that he taught God's truth. He just didn't have the gift of the teacher, amen. He applied the gift of the teacher. So some of you last Sunday were real happy. That's my gift, Pastor. So my question would be, who are you giving God's word to? What Bible study are you over? What life group are you over? Because you just can't have the gift of the teacher. Amen. There's going to have to be an application to God's truth. He gave you that gift to give God's truth. And to be a teacher of God's word. Not a teacher how good you are at your job, but to be a teacher of God's word. So if you claim you did have the gift of the teacher, you better learn God's word, amen? Because that's what you're supposed to be teaching, amen? And the next one, he quoted scripture, amen? In Matthew 4:4, the Bible reads, but Jesus told them, no, the scriptures say. See, that's where we got to get to. No, sister, no, brother. my wife, my husband. No, that's not what Scripture says. That's what the teacher would say, amen? People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, you can probably survive if you go eat after church, but we're talking spiritually surviving, spiritually being strong. You're going to need more than Taco Bell after the service or Burger King, even though you are able to have it your way at Burger King. Some of you right now are thinking you saw the king of Burger King. Not the King of Kings, but you saw the crown. If you act young enough, they'll give you a little cardboard crown on the way in. How many have ever put that crown on? I have. It was free, came with a burger, why not? It has like one size fits all sizes. You can, you know, I got a big head, amen? He quoted Scripture. So here in the teacher, let's go back to he taught God's truth, Matthew 13, 31. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. Amen? Here he was teaching on this parable of the mustard seed. Amen? And though it was small and what it was able to do, he was teaching off the word. Amen? And the other one, he was quoting Scripture. The point, asked me, Pastor, what's the point? I've heard a lot of people that can quote Scripture, but they cannot walk it. Have it memorized. Paragraphs long. And it looks good when they're, I'm saying, like, man, I wish I could do that. So here we see Jesus teaching, amen. It's that he taught God's truth. He was teaching the word. He was not just quoting the word. Got to be careful, amen. I mean, memorizing Scripture is real good, amen. But we got to go beyond that, amen. Let's go on to the exhorter, the encourager. It's the next gift. This is the way Jesus do things, amen? He taught people to live victoriously. To have victory in their lives. I am living proof that any man, any woman, any young adult, no matter how bad you were or are, that Jesus is able to bring your life unto a victorious life, that you no longer have to be defeated, but you can be victorious. Amen? He taught people to live victoriously. Amen? Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 12, these are the Beatitudes. Amen? When we start doing things right and coming right before the Lord correctly, and how he's able to bless your life and my life. Amen? And the Bible says God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Amen? Next one, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Boy, I started off poor. I started off a crybaby. I cry still once in a while, but because of what God has done in my life. I don't cry because I did something wrong. Amen? God blesses those who are humble. You want to be blessed? You need to get humble. And that's why he uses circumstances to humble a man, to humble a woman, so that he can bless them. It's kind of hard to be blessed without going through nothing. It's just kind of hard for God to bless someone that hasn't gone through something. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. The next one, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. Amen? For they will be satisfied. I mean, know that he is the judge of judges. Amen? The next one, God blesses those who are merciful. In other words, cut people some slack here and there. Amen? For they will be shown mercy. What Scripture is saying there, go back. What Scripture is saying is, amen, if you want mercy here and then, you got to give mercy. It goes on to tell us that one day, even the pastor is going to need some mercy. So I, on a daily basis, give mercy to all that I speak to. I'm a shepherd, and the shepherd pasa quebradas, amen, gives breaks here and there more now than I've ever have. Because I know one day I'm going to need the Lord to cut me some slack. And it's so funny. I was talking with Ron the other day, and I've never felt this way, but I'm getting older, man. Even though I can still run all day, work all day, hard as a Hebrew slave, and I can still fly, and I can still go hard, I know I'm getting older. And it's like never before. I say, man, my clock's ticking, man. I got to get busy, man. Because I have God's wisdom. I have several of those gifts he has given me. And I know there's going to come a time and a place where I become bedridden, where I ain't going to be able to operate in the gifts. Amen? We don't know what tomorrow holds, people. The Bible says that tomorrow is not promised. And I don't know about you, but there's a stirring within my life to get busy like I got busy when I first got saved. And I had that new convert fire. I was still smoking cigarettes and hitting all the rallies. I was still talking Jesus to everybody, not even knowing what I was talking about. Because I was on fire. My life was changing. Mom and dad were saying, what? My brother says he's faking it. He's faking. And I was excited. I would be smoking a cigarette evangelizing at the New Jack Apartments where I first saw my love. Many years later, I just gotten out of prison. I was about that big, man. It was hard to walk. Amen. And I was going to the New Jack, their apartments in Salinas. And I was just about to go in, and then there came a girl was walking with a little kid. Amen. 3-4-year-old little kid. I'm going back 23 years, people. 23 years. 23 años. Amen. And I said, whoa, who's that? Right? Been locked up for years. And I'm cruising with a guy called Brian. And he said, hey, watch it. That's my sister. I knew he couldn't take me. I said, so what? But I remember many, many, many years later, it was probably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that I drove to the New Jack Apartments out there. And I don't know, were you with me, love? Somebody took a picture of me. And where I first saw her in my life on the street, in a place where everybody was using dope, amen? I went to the street, somebody took a picture, and I kissed the street where I seen them feet hit. Amen? How did we go there, Pastor Felipe? Reel me back. Get me back. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I don't know, guys. Let's get back on track. Pastor Felipe says, tell the story. And I said, yeah. So talk was, I don't know how we went there. Amen? You're going to need a break sooner or later, amen? I don't know how I went there. Oh, talking about getting older and stuff, but I still don't know how I went there. Amen? Praise the Lord. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. Ooh, I can say that my heart started off so evil on top of evil, evil, evil. And before the presence of the Lord right now, I can say he's given me a pure heart now. Yep. Behind the pulpit, he's given me through the many years, and he's still got a lot of refining to do. I didn't say a perfect heart, but a pure heart now that still wants more and more that what he has to offer. Amen. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those. Look at all the, but everything comes with a, what's the word I'm looking for? A condition. God blesses those who work for peace. Some people just love drama, man. They're just drama makers instead of peacemakers. Did you hear what what's-her-name said? Did you hear? And by the time it gets to the next person, man, they kill 20 people. Gets to the next person, man, and they're America's most wanted. And it was a guy that got caught smoking a cigarette in the home. And by the time it gets to the third person, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted. Hello, somebody. For doing right. Not persecuted for doing wrong. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Stop talking about that brother or sister that did you wrong. They're hooking you up. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Man, that alone right there is the whole message right there. That verse right there. Is that the last one? Amen. Let's move on. We still got time. The next one in the gift of the exhorter, the encourager, amen, is he accepted people as they were. Can you imagine? As they were, as they are. And my mom and dad didn't want me no more. Amen? That's pretty bad. Prostitutes didn't want me no more. That's pretty bad. My brother and sisters didn't want me no more. But Jesus did. He took me in just as I was, all messed up. He not only took me in, but he invited me an invitation into my life at my worst of time. How many let Jesus in when everything was going great in your life? If you're honest, 99.999 let Jesus in because things weren't going right within your life. So it shows us that he accepts us just the way we are. But I would say he loves us so much that he don't want to leave us where we're at. The next one, as a giver. Jesus not only spoke on giving, but he operated in that gift. Amen. That's fine. He operated in that gift, amen? And the first one, as the giver, amen, he taught on giving, amen? Jesus taught on giving. Mark 12, 42 through 44, please. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. He was having a conversation with his disciples. Amen? Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they give a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. So here we learn that Jesus taught on the area of giving. Amen? If Jesus taught on this area, it tells you and I that it's important. Amen? That it's important. And I believe that I gave everything when I was in the world. That's why I give everything now that I'm in Christ. If we could give everything when we were in the world, I always say to be cursed. Why can't we be faithful tithers, givers to the pledge? For now being those that are blessed to help out that next man, that next woman. So, but Jesus is trying to show us something here this day. He did not only teach on giving, but he was about giving. And in John 15, 13, the Bible reads, for there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So Jesus here did not only speak of the importance of being a giver, he demonstrated it with his life in paying the price in full, not a 10%, a 50%, but he gave it in full at the cross of Calvary for your life and my life. He didn't think it was just important enough to speak about giving, but he was about giving. And he gave his life for our wretched lives, our all messed up lives. It puzzles me when people struggle in the area of giving. It puzzles me. Now, if he was asking for 100% tithe, your whole paycheck, I could see why you got a good point. I could see that. Then you could probably say something like, all the church want is all my money. It would fit. It would fit. But Jesus is saying 10%. But what he does want all of is your life. And if you can't do the 10%, don't you ever think that you're going to be able to be that man of God, that woman of God, that young adult of God that's going to surrender all, your life included, unto the work of the ministry, unto the work of the Lord. It ain't happening. Tell your neighbor, it's not happening. Tell your neighbor, it may sound good, but it's not happening. Pastor said, he's been around for 23 years. He says, talk is cheap. It's got to become more than a song. I give you my heart. I surrender all to you. Everything. See, that's why they don't have me on the worship team. Yeah. They're getting all nervous over there, man. Middle wow, man. Alberto started taking notes right there when I looked at. Don't get nervous, man. I could sing back in the days. Felipe, please don't take no notes right now. All right? Just listen to it. Don't write nothing down. He knows what I'm talking about. When I would preach through the rehab in Salinas, 2-3 times a day, I would yell the message. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But one thing I did know, the Harley-Davidson shop next door was hearing the message. The Carlotte Clark's auto sale on the other side of the rehab was hearing the message too. Saying, what the heck is going on in that house? And I scarred my throat. Can you imagine? That sounded good, right? That's with no reverb on the mic. That was just all me right there. Amen? preaching hard scarred my voice. Could have gone professional. I don't know. All right, let's go to the next one. This is the black wand right here. I'm going to go to Felipe like this. Men in black, that's what to erase what they saw or thought, or for they wouldn't remember. Yeah, he's going to bring it up a good couple of years from now, or maybe next month. So everybody's laughing. They don't even know who we're talking about, Felipe. Amen. They act like they know what time it is. They don't. He not only taught on giving, he gave his life for us. The gifts. He not only had the gift, he operated in the gift. Do you not think he wants us to operate in the gifts he has given us? It's not to mess up. Scripture says in Romans, it's to do certain things well. In other words, to be obedient to the gift and to the blesser of the gift. The church we are in right now, obedience is just like a cuss word nowadays. It's like a cuss word. He not only taught on giving, but he backed up everything with his life on giving. The administrator, and getting ready to close, the administrator, he was able to organize his followers. Mark 9:2 says, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up to a high mountain to be alone. He had three, amen? He had the gift of the administrator, and he would take three disciples with him, his inner circle, so to speak, amen? And then in Mark 3:13 through 14, the Bible reads, afterwards, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted. Tell your neighbor, Jesus wants you to go with him. And they came to him. When he appointed the 12 of them, amen, and called them to his apostles, amen. So he had the three, the inner circle. Then he had the 12 disciples. We're talking about the gift of administration now. In Luke 10:1, the Bible records, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. Amen? So in his administration, amen, he had the inner circle of the three, he had the 12, and then it goes on to the 72, amen? He operated in that gift. And the last gift is the gift of compassion. He had a tremendous capacity to show love. A tremendous capacity to show love. If there's anything the lost and bound needs to see right now from your life and my life, is true love. Not love that money can bring, not love that a nice pair of sneakers can bring, a flower can give, but true love. He had a tremendous capacity to show love. Matthew 14:14, the Bible reads, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. I could go take care of them. There's only three out there. But there was a crowd out there. He had tremendous capacity in not just speaking about love, but showing his love, using the gift of compassion, not just being a possessor of the gift of compassion. The next one was he was aware of people's physical needs, Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called the disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. Tell your neighbor, Jesus felt sorry for you, bro. They have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing left to eat. How many have ever gone past 3 days without eating? I'm not talking about in the fast. I'm talking about B.C., before Christ. And they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry or they will faint along the way. Amen. The next one is he was alert to emotional and psychological needs. There's a lot of that taking place in the time and age we live in right now. He was alert to emotional and psychological needs. Matthew 9:36. And the Bible reads, when he saw the crowds again, he had compassion on them because they were confused. Let me confuse right now. Got a suit on, got a pretty dress on. But inside, you're confused right now about certain things within your life or certain things that are taking place outside of your life in the family circle or wherever it might be. Amen? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. How many were helpless when you gave your life to the Lord? You might have had a lot of stuff going on to you, but you were truly confused and helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus knew all you needed was a shepherd. Now, you may not have a perfect shepherd here, but you got a darn good shepherd here in this church, amen, that can effectively lead you in the things of the Lord and the call of God upon your life. Why? I just haven't been around for 23 years and learned some things. I've done some things. You see, I said things instead of things. So I'm being a shepherd to some of you people that time act like things, amen? He cared for children. He cared for children, Matthew 19:14. He had compassion, but Jesus said, let the children come to me. The disciples were rebuking the parents and the kids. Hey, it's Jesus. Man, leave them alone. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. They're innocent. No, I don't care how bad they misbehave at that real young age. They're innocent. Their faith, they believe in dad, whether dad's a failure or a success. Little young kids believe in their parents, whether their parents are leading them the right way or the wrong way. It's the faith, and that's why the Bible says that we need to have the faith of a child to enter heaven. A faith that says, Dad, I trust in you, Dad. I know you're going to do good. I know you got good for me. That's all you want. Dad, you want me to live a victorious life. Dad, I'm going to follow your ways. Dad, I'm going to do what you said to do. Dad, I'm going to be a giver, Dad. Dad, I'm going to operate in the gifts that you have given me. Even though we may be adults, unto him we're his children. And he's looking for his children in these days that we're living in to have faith in him, that he is in control. That he is in control. He expressed emotion. Jesus expressed emotion. For those that want to quote a scripture before you walk out today, John 11:35. Then Jesus wept. Another translation says, Jesus wept. It's down to two words. Somebody asks you, hey, do you know a scripture? Well, sure do. Jesus wept. You give it to him like that. What did he cry about you? He felt sorry for you. He break down that scripture, amen? He expressed emotion. Jesus exhibited perfectly all the motivational gifts as his body today. As his body today, we can work with him to minister to and bless others. Amen. I am real happy we had this course, that we took our time to go through it, though it almost killed me. Amen. I got to say words a little slower today than like a machine gun. I'm still breathing correctly right now. Amen. But I challenge you, congregation, I challenge you to not see what you lack or to be so focused in the areas that you fail in, but to see what you do have. And not only what you do have, but what you do have, that it comes from God to do certain things well. You don't have to be an up and down Christian no more. And like never before, we need men and women and young adults to rise up in the church. And if you haven't been to a rally yet, you're going to experience going to the hood. You might as well go home today. I'm telling you, get in front of the mirror. Amen. Just start saying, Jesus love you. He died for you. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be a gangbanger. You know, I was suicidal. But I want to let you know that he did it for me. He can do it for you. You better start practicing in the mirror, because that's what you're going to be doing. We're going to start blasting and taking this church, amen, to the hood, to where they're lost and bound, a place where you and I were found at. But as great as our Lord Jesus was and is in the operation, as we've seen in his gifts, he still needs people. Ask me why I know he still needs people. If he didn't need people, I'm just getting this from the Lord right now. If he didn't need people, he wouldn't have had no reason to give us gifts. He gave us gifts for the benefit of others that are lost and bound to receive salvation, to come to church, to be raised up as a great disciple in the making in the church at the end time church. If he didn't need people and he wanted to do it all by himself, why would he give us gifts? I believe sometimes we buy gifts for our children, amen, at Christmas for them to be happy, right? We buy them gifts, for they won't cry and pout and hate us. They're counting, and we know it. But yet, it's funny that Christmas is just one day out of the year when the gift God has given us is to be used every day. But I've never seen in my life, not talking about you guys, of course, so many sniveling, crying Christians. That God, a gift or several gifts that is from God. From God, it says. And we cry and snivel because we don't have enough, or we don't have no money, and we don't have this. When God says, wake up! I not only made sure there was gifts under the Christmas tree, I put a gift or several in you to use, to go way beyond helping your family. Are you on board here this day? In doing your part, Scripture says, in using the gifts that God has given you to do certain things well, to win those that are still lost and bound, that are still out there. And the clock is ticking on the return of Christ. The clock is ticking and them wanting to take themselves out. Because they're like that Scripture. They're confused. They need help. They're harassed. Some are educated, some are not educated. But life has become too hard for them to cope with. And they're looking for a man. They're looking for a woman. They're looking for a young adult to go and operate in the gifts that God has given us, to show them love, to encourage them, to teach them, to be an administrator of Christ, a teacher, a giver. You see, when we all do our part, we cover all the gifts that make up body diagram, that make up the body of Christ. I was going to ask Jenny to put where the heart is, V.O. Milwaukee there, but I said, nah, that's too corny. I think that's cheesy, so I didn't do it. But now I'm saying, man, I should have put it. The whole body is here right now. And he's the head. He's the Christ. We have everything here. You just got to get it. We got everything here right now to save the lost and bound, to get them to heaven, to get them to the right mind of thinking, and to even be able to learn of their gifts and apply their gifts as Jesus did as we stand this day. Don't go based on your record. Don't go based on your record. Go based on the gifts that God gave you within your life. Because if you go off of what you're feeling like, amen, right now, you ain't going to get much done. But you'll go to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Everybody will go to their jobs. Because whether you're bummed out or not, you got to go to work. I'm getting another revenue from the Lord right now. Too many people don't want their shepherd, their pastor, in their business. You got to let me in. You got to let me in. I ain't going to put you under the bus. I can help you. I can guide you. You see, when you don't allow the leadership of the church, the pastor, to get in your business, get the Revy, you'll never be on your Father's business. It just dropped right now. It dropped. I feel like dropping the mic like the guys do it in the world, but this thing costs too much. Amen. I feel like dropping the mic. Amen. I feel like putting it up a little bit and chopping the mic. You don't want nobody getting in your business, and yet you think you can be upon your Father's business. You can't do it. Can't do it. Tell your neighbor again, can't do it. Tell the neighbor on the other side, can't do it. And then whisper to your neighbor, you're going to have to let Pastor Charlie in. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to have a story to top that. Don't trip, potato chip.
You know why you don't want to let me in? Because to let me in, you got to let me know where you're weak at. And nobody wants to look weak. We want to look like we have it all together. We don't need help. We're not confused. If you want me in, you're going to have to let me know what time it is, for we can work where you're really at, where you're truly at, where I can, along with Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, can get you to that place to operate in your gifts. You don't have to live a perfect life, but you do got to be willing to start where you're at there. Right there where you're at, I just want you to raise your hands. Amen. No music. God, let me in. This is the charge of letting me in. You got to feed me and be nice for me for at least 1 year. Amen. That's all it takes. Let me in. Father, here this day, I lift up the flock that you have held me accountable over, Lord. I love every one of them, Lord, and you know I do. I pray, Lord, Father God, that you get them to a place to let me in. And when I say me, Lord, I'm really saying you. But you need a man, you need a woman to get into the lives of the people, Lord. And I thank you that you have brought me to a place, Lord, that I can effectively go into one's life, one's home, Lord, Father God, and direct them according to your word. I pray that you touch that man, that you touch that woman, that you touch those young adults, that you touch all those viewing right now through Facebook, that they're able to confide in somebody to allow them in, to mentor them, to teach them the ropes, the spiritual ropes. Your truths, Lord Father God. I pray this year do not go on hidden anymore, no longer as mysteries, but that your truth and mysteries become a revelation, Lord, that we not only understand or are able to break down, but apply within our lives, Lord. No longer a mystery, no longer hidden, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the gifts to come alive within our lives, Lord. That we be challenged, Lord, Father God. That there be a new, fresh conviction, Lord. Now us knowing the gifts that you have given us, Lord, to every day writing them down, every day being conscious of them, Lord, Father God. Because times get hard, times get rough, Lord. And we need to stay focused to what we do have and who it's from, Lord. We thank you for the gifts that you have given us to benefit not only ourselves, but others. Touch us this day as we go, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Love you, love you, love you guys. God bless you guys. Those on Facebook, God bless you guys. Again, if anybody has any questions, get with Sister Lily Macias, and she'll be sure to help you. God bless each and every one of y'all. Amen.